Good morning, everyone. I'm back. I was out sick last week, but and fighting a, I don't know if it's a respiratory infection or something like that, but praying the Lord's going to be, Lord's bigger than being sick. So, but it's really great to be here this morning. It's great to see you all this morning. And I'm excited about what I feel like God's given us for this morning. And the title of my message this morning is The All-Sufficient One. And I really felt, as I was praying throughout the week of like, Lord, what do you want me to bring on Sunday? What do you want me to share? I just felt like God wanted to bring something of His, the fact that He's enough. That He wants us to know that He's enough. And I kept getting this picture as I prayed. And the picture was, it was like, you know, like how, like God was, sorry, He was placing like breadcrumbs on a trail in front of us. And He was wanting each of us to like, just follow the breadcrumbs. Just follow Him. He's leading us. He's taking us somewhere. He's going to supply all we need. So this morning, thank you. I've got a water. But like, you know, one of the greatest privileges that we have as believers, and what one of the things that distinguishes us in the place that we live in, the world that we live in, is that we actually get to know God. We actually get to know Him and His character and His attributes and His and how much He loves us. We get to know Him that way. And it is actually one of this, it's such an amazing, an awesome privilege. We get to know God's name. I mean, can you imagine the people that are going through the world today, this morning, they're waking up and they don't know God. They're out there trying to figure it out for themselves. They're out there trying to make it work for themselves. But we don't have to do that. But there are times when we feel like we are alone. And there are times when we feel like, where is God? And there are times when we feel like, man, I can't hear Him. I can't find Him. I can't touch Him. I can't see Him. And we begin to fall back on our feelings and how we feel. And it's like, I really believe what God wants to do this morning is He wants to reinforce a foundation of who He is and what that means for us, and how it doesn't, or how our feelings don't matter. It doesn't matter if you can feel Him or not, if you can see Him or not, because He is who He is. So a name is a very important thing. You know, we lived in Africa for a few years, and it's a very funny kind of different culture in the way they name their children. Luke could probably tell you. Robin could tell you, Anya could tell you. You'll go to a grocery store and you'll meet someone and the name tag will say, Precious. Or it'll say, Innocent. Or it'll say, Jealous. What?
Jealous.
Zealous. Michael Jackson, that's a new one for me. We had a lady who helped us, who worked for us, and her name was Far, which is actually... it's actually probably means rejoice, be happy, celebrate it. I don't think it means far, but a lot of the ways that they name their children is kind of like what's going on around them in the moment. So like I heard of a woman who's named another girl. Like obviously her parents had a couple girls, and then here's another girl, and that was her name. And so that's So it's really interesting to go into a place and you'll see just that, like I remember a waiter named Honest, and I may have mentioned to you guys that 2 months ago we had a granddaughter. Did I mention that? I think I might have mentioned it. Our first granddaughter, and in the months leading up to the birth of our granddaughter, my son and our daughter-in-law wouldn't tell us what name they were going to name the baby. And I don't know, I mean, maybe it was just smart because, you know, people have opinions and, you know, you might pick a name and then someone says, oh, I don't like that name. And then so they just didn't tell us. It was a bit of a torture, but I'm relieved they were wise about it. And because I remember when we named our daughter, our oldest daughter's named Ryan Lindsay, like Ryan Roth, but Ryan Lindsay. And I remember her family, her dad was like, I'm not going to call her Ryan. I'm going to call her Lindsay. I'm like, no, you're not. You're going to call her Ryan. Because he didn't like the name. So, but I was super relieved when, when Nick and Caitlin named our granddaughter, because her name is Zoe Amara. And I'm like, oh, I like the name. I love the name, actually. And what it actually means is life eternal. So Zoe means life, Amara means eternal. And I was just so relieved that I loved the name, that it didn't, that, you know, it wasn't like a fruit, or it wasn't a color, or it wasn't a symbol. You know, there's all kinds of, all these kind of weird names going out around there. But I really love that name, and I love that it has deep and significant meaning. It means something. Like, they picked a name that that sort of spoke to who they believe, who they prophetically feel like God is going to make that precious little girl. And so names can carry significance. Names can kind of carry identity. We see that God was the first one that named somebody. He named Adam, and the name Adam means man or from the ground, because, you know, God made him from the dust. Adam named Eve. He named her Eve, or life giver, because she was going to give life. And then we see throughout Scripture, there's a number of places where God actually changes someone's name. He'll take Jacob and make him Israel. He'll take Abram and make him Abraham. So God uses a name to sort of identify and to describe or help understand what this person's calling and destiny and who they are. So names are really important. And what we find is that God has different names. I mean, I remember I was probably, I mean, many, many years ago that I began to learn about the different names of God. And there's still times when, during my prayer time, during my worship time, I'll begin to pray the names of God, because what that does, it reminds me of who He is. Even though, and there are times when I'm feeling like, oh no, you know, like for those of you who, you know, maybe you have more month than you have money, and you're like, you know, I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to make it, and then you begin to pray and say, oh, but wait, God's name is actually Jehovah Jireh, the provision of the Lord shall be seen. That's actually His name. That's actually who He is. He actually promises that He's going to take care of us. And I think basically because I can look around the room and I don't see anyone who is starved to death, I think God lives up to that name, doesn't He? All of us have seen and experienced the provision of God in one way or another. We may have not always gotten everything we wanted, but God's promise that He'll always give us what we need. And so His name begins to help us understand who He is and begin to understand His character, and helps us be able to relate to Him for who He is rather than who we think He should be, who we want Him to be, who we don't understand Him to be. His name actually helps us see Him and understand Him. A.W. Tozer said, God's names are not metaphors. They are the ways God has chosen to make Himself known. God has He let us know His name because He wants to reveal Himself to us. He wants us to know that He is Jehovah Shalom, that God is our God, God our peace. Do you understand? He wants you to know that He's your peace. Like when you're stressed, when you're worried, when you're anxious, when things are out of control, when you don't know what to do, it's like He wants you to know, hey, I'm your peace. Come over here. Come this way. Come towards me. And so they're the way that He wants to reveal His character to you. He wants to reveal who He is to you. So you don't have to try and kind of like get through this on your own. Psalm 20, verse 7 and 8 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. Some people will trust in all kinds of different things, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. It's not meant to be a label. It's meant to be a description of who He is. So this morning, I want to look at one name in particular that God kind of had been dropping into my heart all week, and it's the name El Shaddai. And it can be translated from Hebrew to mean God Almighty. It can also be the God who sustains. And so I really believe that God wants to reveal his sustaining character to us this morning so that we can actually put our trust in him and actually we can relax because we know that he's going to sustain us or take care of us. So I want to look at the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. So there's a story, we know about the prophet Elijah in the Old Testament. It says, Elijah lived during a turbulent time in Israel's history. The northern kingdom was ruled by King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, who brought in the worship of Baal, foreign gods, and the people were turning away from the Lord. They were seeking rain and prosperity from idols. So there was a drought going on, and the people were beginning to look towards other gods to try and meet their needs and solve the problems. But famine and drought had gripped the land. So there was all this fear and all this suffering all over Israel. And into that chaos, we get Elijah. God appointed Elijah as his prophet, basically the guy who's going to come and speak for him. He's there to just bring the word of God to say, this is what God has to say. So Elijah says in 1 Kings 19:10, he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, throw down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take away. So Elijah's like, hey, I'm the only one that's really here to speak for the Lord. Everybody else is turning to other gods. Everybody else is turned away. But here I am, and God's going to give me the word for his people. The name Elijah means my God is Yahweh, or Yahweh is my God. And so here he is. Israel has kind of turned away from the Lord. They've turned towards other things. They've turned towards other idols. They're looking for love in all the wrong places. They're looking for solutions wherever they can find them. And Elijah's saying, you know, this is the time for us to turn to the Lord. And so in the midst of this this drought, Elijah goes to Ahab and Jezebel. He says there's going to be a drought and there's going to be judgment because you've turned away from the Lord, because you've turned to other gods. And so he brings this word, and then he's kind of like, they think he's the bad guy, which he's not. He's just the mouthpiece for the Lord. And then he has to go kind of hide. So Elijah goes off and he hides by this brook, and God says, I'm going to give you water from the brook, and I'm going to give the ravens to bring you meat. And so he goes, and that's what happens. And he has food, and then eventually that brook dries up. We're going to pick up here in 1 Kings 17, verse 8. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. See, we see in this story that, like, here's this situation that can seem pretty dire for Elijah and for this widow. There's this drought going throughout the land. She's like, there's nothing. Imagine a situation where all of a sudden, you know, the grocery stores are empty. There's no rain. There's still, like, you know, water's beginning to run out. There's no food. It's hard for us to kind of conceive of this because we've never had to live off the land for most of our, you know, I would think most of us, you know, when we want groceries, we just go to the grocery store. In fact, you see it when there's a, you know, I remember last year when they had the storm come through, Helene come through. I mean, people go and they rush to the grocery store and they clean it all out. And then remember how hard it was to, like, you know, you had to wait in line to get gas. You had to wait in line to get into, like, the grocery stores were closed. And then your freezer, because, you know, our freezer shut down. And so all our food was spoiling. And we're like, you know, we're living off of whatever we can kind of get by on in the pantry. It's kind of an unusual. In fact, we kind of don't know what to do with ourselves. I guess some of you guys might be like preppers. You probably were really prepared for it, but not all of us. For some of us, we're kind of like, okay, we'll just kind of go, you know, be a little hungry for a few days. We're not used to that. We're not used to having to really rely on. In fact, a lot of times we're not really used to having to rely on God. For some of us, one of the worst things we have is a really healthy bank account. Because we don't have to rely on God. We're like, okay, I'm good. You know, like you're good savers and you're responsible and you haven't had to be in that place of like, uh-oh, what am I going to do? But that's not the case here for Elijah and this widow. For Elijah and this widow, they're like, what are we going to do? Well, actually, Elijah knew what they were going to do. You know, sometimes God is going to give you just enough. You know, I would just love it if, you know, like God would give me more than enough. And there's times when he does give me more than enough. But there's also times when he gives me just enough. And in those moments, when he gives you just enough, it's in those moments that we begin to say, okay, God, I don't actually have an option. I don't have a choice. I have to trust you. And he, in those moments, he comes and says, I'm going to take care of you. Go back to that little baby. Go back to Zoe. We get like, we're sitting around lots of times during the evening or the afternoon, and all of a sudden, it's like, it's a baby FaceTime. I call it the baby FaceTime. It's our son will get on the FaceTime, and he'll, you know, all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's FaceTime. Okay, hey, Margaret, come here, and it'll just be Zoe on the camera looking at us, and it's such a treat for us. And you look at her, and here's this little baby who is absolutely and completely 100% dependent upon her parents. Man, if they weren't there, what would happen to her? I didn't want to think about what would happen to that baby if mommy and daddy weren't there to look after them. And I think that's something of what God wants us to like tap into this morning. It's like, we're like that, we're called to be like that little baby who says like, actually, I don't want to rely upon myself. I don't want to rely upon what I can do. I actually want to rely upon you. I want to know you, God, as the all-sufficient one. And I feel like there's some of us might be in that kind of position this morning where maybe there's an area of your life where you actually don't know what you're going to do. There's actually an area of your life where like things aren't working out exactly the way you think you want them to or they need to or you wish they would, that there's an area of your life where things are, you know, if God doesn't come through, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. And I feel like God wants to come and say this morning, listen, my name is El Shaddai. I will sustain you. I will be the one that's there for you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you to your own. I'm not going to let you starve. I'm not going to let you die of thirst. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be there, right there with you. And we spend so much of our time worrying about things that are never going to happen. We spend a lot of our time, rather than turning to the Lord, we wake up in the morning, maybe we're anxious, maybe we're worried, maybe we're upset, maybe we're uptight, maybe we're scared. Some of you may have, there may be a health issue for yourself or for someone you love. And you wake up anxious, and you wake up nervous. And I feel like what the Lord wants to say this morning is, listen, I got you. That even if things aren't going to work out the way you want them to, or the way you think they're going to, I got you. I got this. We can learn a few things from this story about Elijah and the widow. I actually really love this story, to be honest. Back when we were in South Africa, we were leading a congregation, and do you guys remember? Do you hear that? Remember that thing called COVID? Yeah. So we were living in South Africa at the time. We were leading a congregation. It was we couldn't meet as a congregation. We had a large congregation, and we couldn't meet. So we were looking for different ways that we could sort of shepherd as elders. We wanted to shepherd the people. We wanted to be in their lives. It was like a time that none of us had ever experienced. It was so different and weird and strange, and people were feeling, you know, some people thought, is this going to be the end of the world? Is this going to kill everybody? They were isolated and lonely, and so I began to do what a 5-minute early morning devotional. Every day I would do a devotion for the congregation, and I called it Lockdown with Lon. It was legit. And what's that? I had like 30 hats. Like, I would wear a baseball cap, and it became a thing because I would wear a different one every day. And, but what I did was, during that devotional, I just went through this little story about Elijah and the widow. And it's so rich that I literally spent probably a few weeks, maybe several weeks, going through like 5 minutes at a time talking about this story. I love this story. I love this story because it really does illustrate and demonstrate the closeness of God. That He's actually a lot closer to us than we think He is. He's actually a lot more involved than we think He is. Again, a lot of us feel like, oh, we got to figure this out for ourselves. I got to figure things out. I got to work this out. I got to find. And it's actually, God's like a lot more involved than we think He is. And so here's Elijah, and he's got to run. He's kind of in hiding, and the Lord comes, and look at it, verse 9. It says, he's by this brook. It runs out of water, and God says, okay, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. Sometimes the correct, maybe all the time, the correct response is just do what God tells you to do. We're over here trying to figure out X, Y, and Z. Maybe you have a pile of bills stacked up in front of you. And you've got one, what's today's date? Today's the 23rd. You got one due on the 24th. And then you got one due on the 25th. And then you got one due on the 26th. And then you got one due on the 27th. And then you got one due on the 28th. And so on. And so being the responsible people that we are, we get the calculator out and we're like, okay, I need to pay that one and that one and that one. Okay, I need $5,000 to pay all these bills. I need $5,000 today so I could pay all these bills. And the Lord's over there saying, no, 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 no. And maybe you have like $200 in your checking account, and the first bill is $100 that's due tomorrow. And you say, man, I need $5,000 to pay. And God says, no, you don't. You need $100 to pay that bill tomorrow. And there's actually $100 in your account, so just pay that bill. Sometimes we want to try and get ahead of God and get ahead of God's solution when God's saying, actually, I'm going to pay. I want you to trust me day after day, one day at a time. Sometimes we can get ourselves, we can work ourselves up into a bit of a frenzy because we're worrying about tomorrow's problems or the next day's or next week's problems or next month's problems today when God's saying, wait, wait, you have what you need for today. I've given you what you need for today. Just worry about today. Tomorrow has enough of its own problems. And so what Elijah had to do in this situation was just do what God said to do. He said, get up and go. Arise and go to Zarephath and dwell there. God didn't say, hey, listen, eventually, you know, I'm going to send rain and everything's going to be good and you're going to triumph. And he didn't say that. He didn't say like, just trust me. I got this, Elijah. Like down the road, you're going to go up against the prophets of Baal and, you know, you're going to be proven right and yada, 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 yada. No, he didn't say all that. He said, hey, arise and go. Sometimes learning about God's sufficiency is just doing what God says to do today. And relaxing into that, trusting him in that. Sometimes the easiest thing to do and the hardest thing to do is trust the Lord's leading. Sometimes it's the easiest thing to do. Like, oh man, okay, I can do this. And sometimes it's the hardest thing to do because we want control. We want God to answer us now. We want God to do things our way. We want God to get ahead of what he's doing. And he's saying, hey, just trust me today. There's a famous poem by Alfred Lord Tennyson. You guys have probably heard it. The Light of the Charge of the Light Brigade. Anybody heard of that? Teachers? Where are the teachers? Charge of the Light Brigade. There's a line in there that says, theirs is not to reason why, theirs is but to do and die. And in our following of God, in our loving of God, in our serving of God, in our trusting of God, in our depending on God, all we have to do is just do what he says. Believe who he says he is. He said he's not going to leave me, and he's not going to forsake me. So if I believe that, man, then I'm not going to sit around worrying about next week. Elijah, just go. Get up and go. So the first thing we need to do is just obey what God says now. The second thing I noticed there, if you look at verse, go back again to verse 9, he says, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow there to feed you. So interesting that, you know, God prepared provision beforehand. Like God already had a plan, and I think it's really important for us to acknowledge that God had a plan beforehand. That whatever situation you're in right now, whatever the thing that you're facing, to realize that God actually already has a solution. That God already has, he's already solved, God's already solved the problem. He just hasn't told you about it yet. He just hasn't let you in on it yet. You know, there's times when he just wants us to say, okay, I don't need to know. You know, like you're on a need-to-know basis and you don't need to know. Lord, I don't need to know. All I need to know is you're faithful. All I need to know is that every time in the past, up until this point, you've taken care of me. You've met my needs. You've sustained me. You've been faithful to me. All we need to know is that he's already got the solution figured out. For Elijah, he already had the solution figured out. He had this little widow over in Zarephath who had nothing. She had a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil. Man, any one of us would say, you know, God, why don't you just send him to a rich guy who has more than enough? Why don't you just send him to like someone who like, you know, there's like, you know, you send him to like another land where there's a king and he can have abundance and everything. It's like, No, God did it the way God did it because God wanted to show that it was God doing it. There's times when God just wants to show himself, show himself to us. There's times when he wants to say, actually, I need you to trust me. I want you to trust me. I want you to know my character. I want you to know that I've got you. And as much as we would like God to do things on our time, on our schedule, in our way, he wants you to know that. He wants you to like say, oh, God, actually, I trust that you're going to do it. He's actually El Shaddai. He's actually the God who sustains us. So he prepares this little widow. He commands this little widow. And it's interesting, in the exchange with Elijah and the widow, you kind of don't really catch that, you know, like somehow she knew. She says to him later on, she says, as the Lord your God lives. She's aware. And God has commanded it. Whatever your situation is, whether it's a financial situation, it's a work situation, it's a family situation, it's a health situation, God says, hey, I've got it. I've already got it figured out. I've already prepared for it beforehand. Would you just trust me? Will you just trust who I am? He provided through this, if God could use some little poor widow with nothing to take care of Elijah, how much more could he do for you? If he could use the smallest of resources to look after Elijah, how much more could he do for you in your moment of need and trouble? What you're facing may seem insurmountable. It may seem like there's no way it's going to work out. Like, man, God can't change my boss. God can't change my spouse. God can't change my financial situation. God can't change my diagnosis. And yet he can do it all. And all he wants us to do is say, okay, you got this. I'm going to trust you. How much does it bless the Lord when we say, like Job, like, Lord, you know, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. No matter what you do, I'm going to trust you. Next thing I noticed was in verse 10, it says, and he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. You know, Elijah didn't say, bring me a fatted calf. Bring me a feast. Bring me a cake and dessert and wine and. All Elijah asked for was enough. He said, bring me enough. I just need a little cake. That's all I need to get by. Sometimes we can get very disappointed in God because we ask for stuff that we don't need. We set our hearts on, we set our desires on things that we don't need. If you have a roof over your head, if you've got food in the refrigerator, if you've got water in the tap, I mean, do we need much more than that? But there's times when we begin to look around and we think, oh, well, that person has a new car. I need a new car. Huh. Do you need a new car? You have a car? I mean, Luke could tell you. Man, you guys, there's nobody in this room that isn't exceedingly richer than most of the people he knows in Zambia. Right, Luke? Exceedingly, by far. There's funny, they've been making this observation about all the people complaining about all the benefits that got paused for a while. And they said, there's people on $1,400 cell phones, smartphones, complaining that they don't have enough. All Elijah asked for was enough. just bring me enough. And there's times when we have to say, Lord, just give me enough. Don't give me more than I need. Don't give me everything I want. You know that if you got everything you wanted, it would probably ruin you. It would probably destroy you. You know, you think, oh, if I could just win the lottery, it would ruin you. And God loves you more than that. He loves you enough to say, no, I'm not going to give you what you want. And we know it, for those of us who have children or were children or see children, see it all the time with kids. Man, if you let your kids set the diet, it's going to be cake. That's kind of my diet. It's going to be cake all the time. But as parents, we have to say, no, you got to eat some vegetables. You got to eat some meat. We've got to make sure you have a well-balanced diet. And we can be just like children. Lord, give me everything I want. It's like, but if I give you everything you want, you're not going to want me. If I give you everything you desire, you're not going to want me. With the prodigal son, it wasn't until he ran out of everything he wanted. It wasn't until he had nothing. It wasn't until he was hungry. It wasn't until he needed his father that he said, okay, I'm going to repent and run back. When he had everything he needed, everything he wanted, he had wine, women, and song, he had money, he had fun, he had party, he didn't want his father. He didn't want him. He didn't need him. But when he ran out, okay, now I want my father. Now I need my father. Now I'll run back to my father. Now I'll repent and go back to him because I am foolish. Sometimes we have to thank God for the fact that he doesn't give us what we want. Because if he gave you what you wanted, you'd miss him. Sometimes we have to say, Lord, enough is enough. Lord, enough for me is enough. Lord, just give me enough. Because if you give me more than that, I'll take my eyes off of you. Some of us need to be on our hands and knees thanking God for our troubles. Why does James say, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials? Because those various trials make me get on my knees and look to him and say, Lord, I need you, I need you, I need you. Some of you, your sickness is the best thing that ever happened to you because it made you turn to him. Your poverty made you turn to him. Your difficult marriage made you turn to him. Your jerk boss made you turn to him. And there are times when we have to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. He'll take care of our needs. He may not take care of all our wants, but he'll take care of our needs. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We get frustrated because we don't get what we want. And then the last thing I noticed there is that God often will use very unlikely and unusual places to provide for us. Like this widow. She's about to starve to death herself. She's like, she didn't have anything. And God says, hey, Elijah, go to this widow. Nobody would have picked her. But he says, go to that widow. And like for a lot of us, we need to put ourselves in a position of like, hey, God, will you provide the way you want to provide from the source that you want to provide rather than what I want? Lord, I've tried to figure it out on my own. I've tried to come up with my own solution. I've tried to make it happen, but I've missed it. And the Lord says, hey, I've got a solution for you. It may not be what you had in mind, and you may not like it, and it may not be extravagant, and it may not be fancy, but I've got you covered. And he'll come from that very unusual place. And it might be that it's the terrible job that you have. Now, God's actually got you in this terrible job, and he's giving you just enough because it's keeping you hungry enough for him. I see, like, God, again, like, I kept getting this picture throughout the week of God saying, okay, Enya, I know your whole, I know the big need that you have. I know all the things that you need, all these different areas. Here's just a little morsel for you. And you say, okay, and you get up and you walk towards that morsel, and you, okay. Okay, 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 I'm okay right now. And then he says, okay, here's another morsel, and you walk towards that. And realizing that every step we take, we're walking towards him. We're finding him. He's leading us to him. He's bringing us in closer to him. And for a lot of us, if he said, hey, here's a chest of gold, we would run over, we'd paint that chest of gold, and then we would run away from him. And I kept seeing God just wanting to say, hey, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to sustain you. We think about those Israelites in the desert. When God, they were complaining about not having anything to eat. And God says, okay, I'm going to give you manna. And you got to go out every day, and you collect it every day, and you collect enough for the day, and, you know, here you go. And then the next day, you got to go out and do it again, and do it again, and do it again. What do you think God was trying to teach him? He could have easily done lots of things. He was trying to teach him, hey, just depend on me. I'm El Shaddai. I'm your sufficient one. I'll meet your needs. Just depend on me. What are you depending on God for today? What do you need from him today? Maybe God wants you to just take a moment and just say, like, actually, Lord, I've got, like, this long list of things I need, but this is actually the only thing I need. So instead of being frustrated that you're not doing all these things, Lord, can we just focus on this one thing? And he says, oh, yeah, we could do that. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, I'll finish with this. It says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I feel like what God's saying is, come to me with your need. Come to me with your lack. Come to me with your problem. And I'll take care of you. I'll meet your need. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. And I'm going to ask Andres to come and pray for us. I feel like for some of us, this was extremely personal for you. Some of us are like, yeah, I'm good. For some of it was extremely personal for you. And I feel like God is speaking to you. He actually is speaking into your situation. So please don't miss what God is doing. Please don't get caught up in, again, the bigness of your issue. Get caught up in the bigness of your God.
Yeah, I think there's something about staying in this place, not necessarily rushing out of it. If you are one of those that have a heavy yoke, a lot of burdens, a lot of things weighing on you, what is it? What is it that's weighing on you? What is it that's weighing you down? Would you give it to the Lord right now? Maybe there's something that the Lord has intentionally put in your life because he wants you to depend on him. Lon named a few, but what if it's your marriage? What if it's financial provision? What if it's actually your car breaking down? I know that's been the case for me in the past, or for some of you here today. Would we welcome him in that? Lord, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to teach me? What are you speaking to me right now? For some of us, maybe he isn't sufficient. And we gotta acknowledge that. Maybe we gotta pray through it. Hey, Lord, how can you become sufficient in my life? How can I trust you and not my own self-reliance, not my own strength or my own wisdom? So let's take a minute or two and just, wherever you are with the Lord, give it all to him.